So for the show tonight, or this evening, we have Mr. Jason Finkelman as our guest. Jason, thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. I'm honored to be here.
Oh. Well, thanks a lot. And first, I think I'd like to ask you about what you do and about the Asian Lens film series and other events that you told us about. And first, I guess I have a business card of yours that says you are the director of the Global Arts Performance Initiative. So tell us, what do you do under that position?
All right, very good. As you said, I am the director of Global Arts Performance Initiatives, which was established in 2012. It is a partnership between some of the leading cultural institutions and programs here at the University of Illinois. The Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, the Krannert Art Museum, Spurlock Museum, the Robert E. Brown Center for World Music, which is part of the School of Music, and the Asian Educational Media Service, which is an outreach program of the Center for East Asia and Pacific Studies. And so there was a base of programming that I established with all of these organizations and programs, and so we were able to create a position that would continue to focus on the platform of programming that was in place. So right now I'm working towards bridging these organizations and institutions together with the programming that I do from this established platform. So for example, Asia Lens is a program of the Asian Educational Media Service, and we've long been partnered with the Spurlock Museum with this film series that focuses on contemporary issues, or I should say issues that affect contemporary Asia. So this semester we're able to show three films. It's every second Tuesday of the month at the Spurlock Museum. So our first screening is coming up on September 10th. And on this first film we're going to be showing Beijing Besieged by Waste, which is by the award-winning photographer Wang Zhu Liang, and he had traveled to more than 500 landfills that surround Beijing. And so it's his observations as a photographer and in this case also as a filmmaker of what is going on at these locations. So it's a very fascinating look at, you know, people who live at these landfills or people who work at these landfills or recover materials from these landfills, but also things like livestock grazing, the magnitude of the waste that's being produced with the development that is in China now. So that's our first film. That's on Tuesday, September 10th at the Spurlock Museum. And the other films this semester are a film called Tokyo Waka, A City Poem. It's by filmmakers John Haptis and Christine Samuelson. It's a 2012 film. And that's a very interesting look at the city and the life in the city through the lens of the population of crows that exist. So it's this interaction between the life of the crows and the citizens of Tokyo and all these varying viewpoints of everyday people, basically. There's some things that were really striking to me. There's a group of artists who decided to make a performance piece out of something they learned about the nature of crows, that if crows hear a call and they see a crow flying, they start to flock. And so they had a taxidermed crow in a car, and they drove up and down maybe I can't remember exactly the location, but I feel like it was a governmental area, mm-hmm. you know. And so you see all these birds flocking after them. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, there's a lot of different perspectives in this film, and it really shows the way that crows compete for space mm-hmm. and territory and will attack humans mm-hmm. or steal their things, like mm-hmm. making nests out of hangars and that type of thing. So it's a very interesting view and perspective of the city through this lens. Mm-hmm. It's very fascinating. And then we're going to conclude with a third film called A Perfect Soldier, which is a 2011 film, which is about an ex former Khmer Rouge soldier who laid mines throughout Cambodia, and the life that he leads now is defusing ordnances, mines, and other explosives that litter the countryside and continue to dismember and kill innocent citizens. And it's really a focus on Akira, the main figure, who created a landmine museum that I think people who are going to Angkor Wat would pass by. And it was a really rustic, self-made museum that was causing trouble for the government. Mm-hmm. They wanted to see a shift there. But he was doing this service to his community and to his country, and it's a really inspiring story mm-hmm. about where that leads to. I don't want to give away mm-hmm. the film, A Perfect Soldier, and that's a film by John Severson. And I would say that one thing that I would add is one of the other things that I enjoy doing as part of my job is that with the Asian Educational Media Service for the past 3 years, and we'll continue this year as well, we have organized a film expo at the Association for Asian Studies Conference. And all of these films were brought to my attention through that process. Mm-hmm. And so these are some of the favorite films that, you know, those of us who saw them thought that they would do well to see here again. And actually, I also think a little thematically with the series. So these three films, in a way, all deal with environment. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was kind of the theme with this semester with the films.
Yeah, I thought there was a certain theme to it with the waste and crows and mm-hmm. it's like sort of a downside of major urban areas. Mm-hmm. East Asia and landmines, it's a dark sort of environmental. It's not just environmental.
Right. Each one has a different spin on what environmental impact mm-hmm. each of these situations inflicts upon the community or the area, the nation. Mm-hmm. I could expand on what else I do as mm-hmm. In this position. So, as I said, there's partnerships between all these organizations. So, I assist in the Robert E. Brown Center for World Music. Right now we have gamelan classes, for example, and I help promote the class. And we have a community gamelan class, which meets on Monday nights starting on September 9th. And it goes through the semester. It's open to the public, free of charge. Folks who are interested not only in gamelan, and maybe I should explain that, gamelan, Balinese gamelan, is an orchestra of metal gongs or marimba-type instruments, but they're small. So there's these anklang that have four keys, and they're played in pairs, and they graduate in size. So you have a whole range of those, and then you also have hanging gongs and smaller gongs. And our teacher, Aznawa, Pakaznawa, is able to orally teach. So it's a system that is just passed on by example. Mm. And so you don't necessarily need to read notation, music notation. Mm-hmm. And you know, gamelan in the community focuses, the focus of gamelan is a community instrument, mm-hmm. and dance and ceremony, it's all integrated as a way of life. Mm-hmm. So what's nice about studying with Aznawa is that you get to learn some of the tradition, but he also enjoys and embraces contemporary music as well. So there is often a composer in the class that might present a new piece. That might not necessarily happen in the community gamelan, but in the 4-credit class that we mm-hmm. offer here at the University of Illinois. Yeah. So community gamelan meets on Monday nights, and the Center for World Music has a website at cwm.illinois.edu, and the website has a community calendar on it, and so we hope that folks can go to this website and use that as a resource to find out what international music and performances are happening in and around Champaign-Urbana and in this region. So that's another area that I cover in this position. Mm-hmm. At the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, there's a series called the Global Transfer Afterglow Series. There's 2 concerts that I produce a year there, 1 each semester. Mm-hmm. And I'm very fortunate to have Joy Harjo and her Aerodynamics Band are going to perform on Saturday, September 21st at 9:30 p.m. And that happens in the lobby. It's a free concert. And Joy Harjo is an American Indian musician, poet, playwright, activist, and she combines elements of jazz and rock in performance with this full band with her poetry. So the idea behind Global Transfer Afterglow is that I strive to present groups that are combining elements of different music with some cultural music, with jazz, for example, or with other styles of music. Mm-hmm. So that's been a nice series. And later on in the year, the Sudden Sound Concert Series is another program of mine at the Krannert Art Museum. Mm-hmm. We'll have 2 concerts, one in October and one in November. William Parker's quartet will be there. He's a progressive jazz bass player. And at percussionist Adam Rudolph will be there in November. And one of the things that has changed with that series is I'm trying to do more outreach with the artists that come in. So in this semester with Adam Rudolph, we're going to have a workshop the night before his concert on improvisation. He does a technique of group improvisation where he conducts these large ensembles. And so the focus of the Sudden Sound Concert Series is improvised music and the jazz avant-garde. And that in itself, those 2 words mean a lot. I mean, that music spans quite a long distance of musical styles. So that's some of the major programming that I'm doing. And for Spurlock, I help with their World Fest programming and other events there. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what's all under this title of Global Arts Performance Initiatives. Mm-hmm.